Good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, January 13th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Friday, everyone. It is a nippy 29 degrees with light snow, but sunny skies here in upstate New York. So where did we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Vaccine-Associated Sarcoma, Adjuvants, Biotech, and Future Pandemics. We've been looking for the last few days at some of the new technologies that are spinning out with this mad science money that has been sprinkled everywhere, all in the name of keeping you safe, national safety. CRISPR is now considered a WMD. Our biological warfare program has officially never ended. We've looked at that a bunch of times. You know, we inked that paper in 1972. And I always have to mention it was 1969. They finally signed it in 1972. Everybody signed on. But we said that we were no longer going to be developing biological or chemical weapons, except in keeping ourselves safe by producing vaccinations to protect us against other countries developing biological or chemical weapons. But like we've said many times before, that meant that we still had the pathogens in hand. And if you have the pathogens in hand, that means you could be doing experimentation down deep, dark hallways with bloody handprints on them. And that's actually what's been happening. We had that good old Plum Island that they shut down, Fort Detrick, Maryland. I don't know. I'm trying to remember. I believe I was reading at one point in the history of those facilities that after Nixon had inked that convention agreement, I don't know if it was actually the Geneva Convention or something like that, to say that we were no longer going to be producing these biological and chemical weapons, they converted that Fort Detrick into some sort of cancer research facility. And I thought that was very interesting, considering the fact that now, while we're looking at how all of these new mad science technologies are rolling out, this is this endpoint surveillance to be able to detect at any point in time, real-time dashboards, whether or not something is operating outside of parameters, and that could be in the environment. We found out with that millimeter wave, terahertz radiation, that they are able to detect substances real-time. They were using that same technology in space to scan Mars and the moon to determine what kinds of precious minerals were up there. They were using that same technology at airports after 9/11. Chertoff had the naked body scanners. But then back in, I'm going to say 2012 maybe, there was a story that came out about these new terahertz technologies that could use a laser up to 164 feet away. They were calling them molecular scanners, but they would be able to literally scan you and tell what you had for breakfast. We've gotten beyond that point now. That was just environmental monitoring, and now they are taking it to a micro level. They want to get it inside of us. They want to get it down to where they're able to manipulate, monitor, and control life at its base units. We've looked a lot at DARPA. In the last few days, we really got into some of the DARPA stuff with the shape-shifting immune system and how they are looking at rebuilding vaccines from the ground up. We discovered that those would be flipping DNA switches. They really are not, quote-unquote, vaccines in the traditional sense. Traditional sense is where it stimulated your immune system. And then we talked yesterday about adjuvants and some of the dangers of adjuvants, some of the adjuvants of the past that have that overstimulated the immune system and caused some real issues. But now they're doing crazy things. We found out, University of Pennsylvania, we should find out if that experiment's ever kicked off. They had 7, I believe, different cancers they were going to be starting a study on, where they would be CRISPRing T cells and then putting them back into the person to specifically target cancers that they have currently. And we found out, looking at an interview with the new guy that took over DARPA's brand new division as of 2014, called the Biological Technologies Office. And he said 2017 is going to blow our minds. Well, that's got to make you scared, considering everything that we up until this point have talked about with DARPA and some of the things, the moon shots that they are tasked with. We found out in that 2017 will blow your mind story that one of the things besides vaccines, i.e. genetic modification of humans, one of the other things that they're going to be spending their time and effort and sprinkle dollar funding on as they go out to our universities and our hospitals and find someone to do their dirty deed is focus on the brain. Now, we've spent a lot of time looking at the Brain Initiative, looking at how the 21st Century Cures Act that just got passed in December with flying colors. It was all unanimous, just about. I think there were 5 dissenters from, I don't remember if it was the House or the Senate, but weren't very many who didn't sign on. We found out, remember, too, that a good number of Congress are invested potentially in biotech stocks. So we might even have more than 50% of Congress being millionaires after 2017. We found out Motley Fool was screaming to the heavens by 2020. Stock market is going to be off the hook. Invest now in the ending of humanity as we knew it in the past. But we have DARPA investing in the Brain Project. We have looked a lot at the technologies that DARPA started developing. Of course, all in the name of PTSD, again, to keep you safe, keep your soldiers safe. We even found out that just recently the VA has signed up with good old Dr. Watson. Dr. Watson is going to help them cure veteran cancer, as well as, you know, monitor databases, make sure no one is on a kill list. We found out DARPA was also working a while back with inserting and removing memories, again, all in the name of PTSD, but it could be spread out to things such as Alzheimer's. We found out in the 21st Century Cures Act that they had a whole section, a neurological, I don't remember what they called it, some sort of neurological, then I still have it open, believe it or not. Section 399S, Surveillance of Neurological Diseases, with a National Neurological Conditions Surveillance System. And that is in the new law. We also talked many, many, many times about good old Tommy Insel, former director of the National Institute of Mental Health, going over to work for Google's Verily division, coming up with new ways to chuck out that DSM and to diagnose mental illness on a spectrum, because we all have some sort of defect. They're finding now, as they dig deeper and deeper into the brain and how the brain works, how the brain learns, they're applying a lot of this technology to artificial intelligence, trying to recreate the human brain and the capability to think, connect neurons, make memories. Of course, Kurzweil wants to find out how we could get the nanobots to connect our brains to the internet to augment our capabilities. You know, they have machines now that can read your dreams. They have the ability to suck thoughts right out of your head. We saw something the other day out of Discover Magazine that there's a way now where you don't even have to speak. You can communicate via your mind over the internet to somebody else, play a video game with your brain. DARPA spent a lot of time with prosthetics. It was something else. 2017 is going to blow your mind. They now have prosthetics. Of course, they were using soldiers again who had had unfortunate incidences on the battlefield to replace limbs, connect them with implants. Of course, this now gave them all the chances in the world to experiment on humans. Humans who had no other options. Start messing around with brain implants and find those areas that control fine motor control and our five senses to be able to wire things in, little nanowires. So this new prosthetic device would not only be as good as this biological counterpart, but even better. Anyone remember the Bionic Man? I'm sure everybody does. Lee Rogers, that was his name. We are at that point now. The day that they had National Geographic do live brain surgery on TV. I didn't get to catch that one, but we talked about it, and there was a video. They did live brain surgery on television. And I remember when that happened, that was one of those events that makes me raise an eyebrow and go, huh? Those ones that I always warn you about, that when that happens, you need to pause for a second and make a note of it at least to go back and dig into later, because that typically is one of those threads you should pull. But that live brain surgery was the instant that they tried to normalize this quote unquote brain project. This is how the merging of man and machine is no longer foreign. Look, it was on TV. National Geographic did a science. Science, everybody. That's all it is. Doesn't make you less of a human to be augmented. No. I mean, look, we have pacemakers. That doesn't make Nana an android, does it? Well, no. And I mean, I have to kind of agree with that. Where do you draw that line? But we have crossed that line now. It isn't any longer about pig valves in Nana's heart. Now we are literally talking about augmentation with electronics. So whether or not it be a brain implant or some sort of skull cap, these fMRIs are how they're discovering a lot of what happens inside of the brain. They have even been able to take the technology that's ubiquitous around us to get even more ubiquitous and high frequency. Right now, we are just coded in Wi-Fi and probably 3 and 4G. We got 5G coming and all this terahertz stuff. Got the CubeSats by the bazillions being launched and connected to make this Internet of Everything in the sky. But just with Wi-Fi, we discovered that not only can they see through walls and identify an individual just by reading the Wi-Fi signals that are bouncing around the room inside your house, but they can also read the emotions of the people in that room. We read about that Israeli technology company that have been able to scan your face and just look at using the database and machine learning. Determine whether or not, statistically speaking, based upon the features of your face, that you could potentially be a terrorist or a criminal. We saw that they could even, and I don't remember if they had tests or if they were scanning or just watching personality traits of toddlers at 3 years old to determine what their future would be, whether or not they were going to be a problem human in society at three. And now we have gotten to the point where they will be able to diagnose neurological diseases on the fly by the sound of your voice on doctor's smartphone. And they have the capabilities to make changes. to correct those deficiencies. And that's really what this brain initiative is all about. Fact sheet, whitehouse.gov, brain initiative was released as of April 2nd, 2013. Barack Obama, in his 2013 State of the Union, says, quote, "If we want to make the best products, we also have to invest in the best ideas. Every dollar we invest to map the human genome returned $140 to our economy." Ding, ding, ding. Now, remember, I told you, this is all about the economic engine. The humans of the world have been sold to biotech for this next century. Human experimentation is no longer an ethical issue when it all comes in the name of keeping us safe from all these new 21st century horrors and weapons of mass destruction that they themselves unleashed upon the world. It's all about curing Nana and living forever and bringing down the costs of providing medical care. This really has become a medical tyranny. It's how they're going to get it all into us. But not only that, it's good for investors. Invest, invest. $140 return for every dollar invested on the genome. But today, our scientists are mapping the human brain. Ding. To unlock the answers to Alzheimer's. And now is not the time to gut these job-creating investments, such as in studying the brain, in science and innovation. Now is the time to reach a level of research and development not seen since the height of the space race. Guys, they are going after internal space. We are all but stardust, remember? I don't remember his name. Sagan, Carl Sagan. And we are, but now they are going after our brain and how it works and how it connects, how to diagnose you, how to fix you, how to be able to scan you at birth. I literally saw a story this morning, and I was having lots of sticky issues here with my browser. Really yelling at me because I had too many tabbies open. So I don't know if I managed to snag the one about them diagnosing at birth, but they could literally see the development of the neurons and start seeing issues in the last months of development. And it's really got to make you wonder. I saw CBS News back a few days ago on Pigmine. There actually were two videos, mainstream morning show, talking about CRISPR, talking about how amazing it is, how we can go in and just flip little switches on and off and fix all kinds of diseases. Guys, this is an instant gratification society, remember? We have all been addicted to dopamine through our devices. We are a society that is ripe for embracing technology and the machine. And it's very horrifying. You know, last night I listened to the newest DARPA podcast. I believe there's six of them now. If you want to catch up, go to YouTube, youtube.com/DARPA TV, all one word, kind of like UCY TV. Go to DARPA TV, and I believe the newest one is number six. It is dealing with another hiree to the DARPA Biological Technologies office, and he is talking about a project that we covered on this show called the Insect Allies Program. Do you remember that one? They had a request for proposer day back a few months ago. And what that program is talking about seemed very fantastical. And I know I read quite a number of documents on it, and I was translating it how I was reading it. But I really was hoping that I was wrong. Well, I heard it right from the horse's mouth. The dude who is in charge is an entomologist. And yes, they are infecting insects with genetically modified viruses or bacteria. Then they are launching those insects onto live crops. As those infected insects eat the live crops, they pass the genetically modified virus or bacteria they'd been infected with to the plants. It gets into the live plants. It genetically modifies the live plants within a season of an entire crop. And nobody is the wiser. Of course, it's all in the name of keeping our crops safe from bioterror. The dude even talked about CRISPR. But at the very end, the interviewer says, well, you know, aren't there dangers to this? And he's like, well, of course there are. If Rogue Nation got a hold of this, we could be in big trouble. But hey, one day we're going to have 12 billion people on the planet. And this is all in the name of not only keeping us safe, but feeding the world. Guys, it is so beyond disturbing. The technology that they are messing with right now. We thought that nukes were a big deal, and I've said this before, nuke schmooks. Compared to nukes, it was just a drop in the bucket. What we are literally talking about right now is absolute, utter genocide of every life form on the planet. They are literally playing gods. There are no breaks. You know, one of the big questions that wasn't asked anywhere in that interview is there a kill switch? Are we going to take out these insect allies when they get hijacked? I mean, he didn't mention whether or not they were going to have a little wireless sensor embedded under their exoskeleton, but it's very possible. All right, so let's get back to the brain. It was just a side note discussing DARPA, but DARPA is just like off the rails at the moment. And that dude from the BTO was not kidding. 2017 is going to blow our minds. So here we have all this research now going on with the Brain Project. They are digging into how all the neurons fire and what diseases cause what. What different genetic anomalies could potentially cause mental disorders. What environmental factors could cause mental disorders. Of course, there's stress. There's nutrition. Bad gut bacteria, we found out. All these other little facets. Looking at how the brain works. Well, there's a project right now going on in Europe called the Mezzo Brain Project, a European university. Just landed $3.3 million to 3D print artificial brains for research. Now, we've talked about those little mini brain balls made out of stem cells a whole bunch of times. And they were even saying that those little mini brain balls were real brains. They just didn't have any type of input. No eyes, no ears, no taste or smell. But they could. We've already given artificial intelligence robot googly eyes with a camera, robot hearing with a microphone, robot smell and taste with biosensors. So now we're going to 3D print real little mini brains, meso brains. Sounds a bit like a soup that you really don't want to order. In fact, it's an intriguing new project taking place at Aston University in the UK, which just received 3.3 million euros in funding from the European Commission's Future and Emerging Technology Scheme. And I wonder if they have investors, because I bet they do. Remember, this is like the new global economy, by the way, guys, is 21st century cures. And it's going to include anything and everything to do with biology and being able to crack and hack it, control and manipulate it, connect it to the cloud to be able to monitor and make sure that it is operating within parameters. Bringing together top researchers in the fields of photonics, imaging, biology, and neuroscience, the goal of this innovative project is to attempt to replicate the brain's neural structures by using 3D nanoprinting technology. Now, we had read a story right at the very end of the show yesterday. We hit just the title and maybe the first sentence that the DOD had announced an award of the new Advanced Tissue Biofabrication Manufacturing Innovation Hub in Manchester, New Hampshire. Guys, this is all balls out. And I mean, this is just literally over the last month, this stuff has been rolled out. The Department of Defense announced the award of a new public-private manufacturing USA institute to advance regenerative manufacturing today. This was December 21st, 2016. This new institute will be the 12th Manufacturing USA Institute established with the Department of Defense, now leading seven of these 12. The investments we are making in advanced manufacturing, including today's announcement, will ensure that the innovations needed to develop, manufacture, and commercialize cutting-edge possesses and materials will happen right here in America, says Defense Secretary Ash Carter. They will provide important benefits to our war fighters. And this is the Tissue Biofabrication Center. Of course, it's all in the name. Keeping you safe in the war machine. And it will also help strengthen the economy that is the bedrock of our national security. Ding! He used all the right keywords to get his funding. Headquartered in Manchester, New Hampshire, the ARMI, Advanced Regenerative Manufacturing Institute, is part of continuing efforts to help revitalize American manufacturing. Ding, 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 ding. I'm going to tell you something. This whole thing about Trump bringing back all the manufacturing to America, I warned you what that meant. I told you it wasn't going to be factories of the future, or of the future, of the past. It wasn't going to be the types of factories, the blue-collar workers that our dads worked in when we were growing up in the 70s. Oh, no. These are going to be 21st century factories, green, lean, and mean, working on desktop manufacturing, molecular biology, and fueling the bioeconomy that is going to be the A number one producer of our GDP. This Advanced Regenerative Manufacturing Institute is part of a continuing effort to help revitalize American manufacturing and incentivize companies to invest in new technology development in the United States. The highly competitive process resulted in ARMI selection to lead the Advanced Tissue Biofabrication Manufacturing USA Institute. This award of $80 million in federal funding will be combined with over $214 million contributed by the winning consortium made up of industry, state, and local governments, as well as universities, community colleges, and nonprofit organizations located across the country. The Advanced Tissue Biofabrication Institute, with founding industrial and academic partners in New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Ohio, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Indiana, North Carolina, Florida, Tennessee, Texas, California, Colorado, Washington, Arizona, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, and Maryland, if you can believe that, seeks to organize the current fragmented domestic capabilities in tissue biofabrication technology, and better position the U.S. relative to global competition. Now, I guess 3D printing ears is going to be big business, livers and mini brain balls as well. Biofabrication is an innovative manufacturing industry segment at the intersection of biology-related research, computer science, material science, and engineering that is creating state-of-the-art manufacturing innovations in biomaterial as well as cell processing, bioprinting, automation, so they could just print this shit up, not even with somebody around, and non-destructive testing technologies for critical Department of Defense and novel commercial use. Oh my God, it's a partnership. Guys, this is the new modus operandi. It's all going to be in the name of national security and developing innovation and manufacturing, keeping it local in the United States, bringing it all back home and making biology 101 the economic engine, making cracking all of life's mysteries the economic engine. This is beyond believable. And they're going to sell it to us all. And we are moving forward. They are calling this human 2.0. This is inevitable evolution, self-directed evolution without any breaks. The ARMI will integrate the diverse and fragmented collection of industry practices and institutional knowledge across many disciplines to realize the potential of a robust biofabrication manufacturing ecosystem. Technologies ripe for significant evolution would include, but are not limited to, high throughput culture technologies. Ding, that would be making cells and vaccine ingredients. 3D biofabrication technologies, and that would be 3D printing body parts. Bioreactors, I don't know, maybe running simulations or creating bacteria, that's what it was, that would produce, instead of sugar or alcohol, you could have them produce biofuels. As well as storage methodologies, makes you wonder if that's some of that DNA storage. Non-destructive evaluation, and that would be using things such as an fMRI, real-time monitoring and sensing, those are our real-time biosensors, as well as detection technologies. This Advanced Technology Biofabrication Institute joins the Manufacturing USA Institute Network, which is a bipartisan program that brings together industry, academia, and government. Ding, 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 ding. Told you, that's been DARPA's whole mission. They got their slippery tentacles into every vertical. You know, they used hackers to bring in the business. We need to keep you safe, businesses. There are hackers everywhere. They used universities with sprinkle funding. Come on, young people. Help us develop new technologies and we will fund you. They helped bring in hospitals for cures to cancer and cures to brain disease. We will sprinkle all kinds of money at these research institutes. They now have pulled in every industry as a part of this machine. All of the technologies have now converged. They are all these disruptive technologies that we have talked about time and time again that are about ready to hit us full frontal, and the robots are going to take all the jobs. That is what's coming. But, you know, they promise us a utopia, a land of plenty, the land of cleanliness and white lights and green energy. and self-driving cars that fly. But it's not going to be that utopic. It is going to mean that you are going to lose your individuality from every perspective. You know, our individualities are our defects. I'm quite proud of my defects. I have at least identified my defects and find ways to deal with them, make them not so bad, or put them into some things that are positive, like my angst. My angst I direct at the show, and these technologies that make me go so, so insane when I think about them. But those defects are going to be identified, and that's what's working out itself right now. These scanning, identifying, databasing, correlating, running artificial intelligence and machine learning against the results, running computer simulations in the cloud to see just what would happen, creating connectomes electronically, and deep learning projects that mimic the way the brain thinks. Guys, they're getting close. That baby X guy, the scientist that created the avatar in the movie Avatar, is working on that new project. I don't remember what the name of his company is, but it's something pretty bizarro, like living in the machine or something. But that baby X was a complete reproduction of a human, a baby human, for as much as he could, neurologically, down to bones, ligaments, and then to the facial features, and then to the deep learning. Being able to literally use little robot eyes, a camera, and the microphone to interact with this AI that was a fully full reproduction of a human. And he could literally watch all the systems work together as he interacted with this. I mean, how would you even, what would you term it? I would almost call it a life form. I mean, they've always said that it's not a life form until it can reproduce, or maybe even reproduce and evolve. But they have already shown that we have artificial intelligence that can think and learn on its own without human intervention. That was that new translation project of Google's, where they showed it two languages that it didn't know, and it was able to construct a cipher, a third language, that then worked as the Rosetta Stone to translate between the two languages. And they were really floored by that, because that was something they never expected. It did that all by itself. We also read a story a couple years back now, probably, about the robots. This might have been at the Weiss Institute, or maybe the where they do the Robobees, or Harvard, one of those places where they were doing, maybe MIT, experimentation with robotics. And they had these robots that the mommy robot actually took all of her best traits and created the baby robot and got rid of all of her bad traits. And they were literally showing evolution happening in robots. So guys, these really are new life forms. We also have those synthetic DNA X and Y amino acids that they created. Remember Georgie Porgy Church? Should see what they're working on now, how far they're getting with that human synthetic genome project. Because they were able to not only create two new amino acids and put them into a DNA strand, of course it's going to be used for creating all these new drugs, all these new tiers. They could do exponential increases in substances by just adding, going from a 4-base pair to a 6-base pair. But they were able to make those new amino acids in the human DNA strand replicate. So again, they've created a new life form, and they even called it alien life in some of the titles when that was first announced. I mean, we should be very afraid at what is happening at this moment. So the next step is to now evolve us. And that's where this is headed. When we looked at that shape-shifting immune system and read a couple different stories on it from DARPA and the New York Times, or something else, had another story as well. They said it was literal genetic modification it was going to be happening, we suspected long ago that vaccines were doing things that maybe we weren't aware of, where they were integrating this recombinant DNA from other organisms. Bovine serum or aborted fetal tissue. We found a Stanford study. I'll dig that up for the notes. We found a Stanford study. There was a scientist who had gone after what happens with some of these foreign DNA strands in vaccines, because she was very anti-abortion. And she was very disturbed that there was aborted fetal tissue in some of these vaccinations. And she wanted to know what happened to it. Well, she found out that, oh, yes, when we get foreign DNA put into our bloodstream, it does get absorbed into our systems. When we eat food, that DNA is broken down into component parts and into its amino acids that then make the building blocks of life. And then it is absorbed through our digestive system properly. But when something is injected directly into your muscle or inhaled up your nose and crosses that blood-brain barrier into the brain, that is now directly in your bloodstream and can be absorbed directly by your cells and potentially modifying the organism in which it was injected. See, that's why this stuff all connects together, guys. This is just so insidious, beyond insane. It's from every single angle. All right, let's finish reading about this bio-tissue manufacturing division that ties together universities, hospitals, government, and companies. This is crazy. Each manufacturing USA institute focuses on a technology area critical to future competitiveness, such as 3D printing, integrated photonics, and smart sensors. And across the manufacturing USA institutes, the federal government has committed $860 million, which has also been matched by another $1.8 billion in non-federal investment. And of course, it's going to be a whole bazillion dollars. You want to know why? Because they know that this is the economic engine to the whole future. There's no stopping this train. It is coming, and we better be prepared. I'm not quite sure yet how to do that. I mean, we are in a little corner right now, and it's coming from every single direction, and now we're starting to see the shadow. You better run, little mousey, but I don't think you can hide. Together, the manufacturing USA institutes are already enhancing U.S. competitiveness and advanced manufacturing, from helping Youngstown, Ohio, attract over $900 million in new manufacturing investments to its region and train 14,000 workers in the fundamentals of 3D printing for business, to support companies like X-Fab in Lubbock, Texas, upgrade to cost-competitive next-generation semiconductors, and sustain hundreds of jobs. The ATB Manufacturing USA Institute includes 47 industrial partners, including Abbott, which I think is Abbott Labs, Autodesk, the makers of AutoCAD. We've run across them a few times now. Autodesk was also funding some sort of longevity project that I remember when we ran across them. They were like the initial investors. We were like, what? Autodesk? But yeah, they're really trying to get their foot in the door. They see the writing on the wall. Another company named Becton Dickinson, Celularity, Deca Research and Development, GenCure, Humacyte, Lonza, Medtronic, we've run across them. They make medical biosensors. Rockwell Automation, as well as United Therapeutics. There are, on top of that, 26 academic and academically affiliated partners, including Arizona State University. We've run across them a lot. That's the Photonics. Boston University, Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, Dartmouth College, Harvard University, MIT, Rutgers, Stanford, the University of Florida, the University of Minnesota, the University of New Hampshire, the Worcester Polytechnic, and Yale University. 14 government and nonprofit partners include FIRST, the state of New Hampshire, and the Manufacturing Extension Partnership in multiple states. And for more information, visit the website at manufacturingusa.com. That's gotta give you chills, people. I could not believe the number of states when we read that list. New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Ohio, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Indiana, North Carolina, Florida, Tennessee, Texas, California, Colorado, Washington, Arizona, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, and Maryland. It's just, and more to be added, I am sure. So we now find out, though, that in the UK, they apparently are working on some of their own 3D manufacturing in bioprinting, and this happens to be in brains, the mesobrain. If we would be able to use 3D nanoprinting to improve the connection of neurons in the area of the brain which has been damaged, we will be in a position to develop much more effective ways to treat those with dementia or brain injuries. I think they are talking about 3D bioprinting neurons. The Mesobrain project will use recently developed 3D laser nanoprinting technology to support one of the major aims of neuroscience, to form neural networks with specific biological architectures. The core technology involved with the project involves our favorite. We've talked about these so many times before, pluripotent stem cells, which are cells taken from tissues, and they can take them right from your skin, and then genetically modify them to behave like embryonic stem cells, and they put a little bit of chemicals in a petri dish and mix them around. These cells can then be 3D printed to create precise neural networks according to brain architectures. It might end up being like Futurama, guys. Brains all floating in jars doing the thinking for us. It's going to be our Congress of the future. One day, the results could help repair damaged parts of the brain in those individuals suffering from different types of brain trauma or neurological disorders. And you'll be diagnosed by your voice patterns on your smartphone, I'm going to add. In addition to Aston University, Mesobrain will also boast contributions from Axol Bioscience, Laserzentrum Hanover, the Institute of Photonic Sciences, the University of Barcelona, and Kite Innovations. You know, it's so crazy because my dad, he's like, Jill, all this stuff you read about, you should make note of all the names of these companies. And I'm telling you guys, the real sad fact of the matter is, if you got a few bucks to buy a few of these startups, these IPOs that maybe will hit the market at $2, $3, $4, $7 a share, I would do it. I don't know. Maybe the world won't be destroyed and it won't be robots. We won't have qubits. I don't know. I don't know what the future is going to bring, but I'm telling you, this train is on full and it is the economic engine for the 21st century at a global level. I started watching, I think it was about an hour and 30 minutes long and I really couldn't deal with it, so I had to turn it off, but it was a talk with Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel of PayPal fame, billionaire, investing in Parabiosis, That is the transfer of young blood into old organisms to look for longevity. Well, there was a story that came out a couple weeks ago asking the question, is Peter Thiel the most powerful person in tech? And we found out Peter Thiel was a big supporter of Donald Trump, and now he has been appointed, or he's some sort of insider helping Trump make some of these picks for head science jobs at some of these federal regulatory agencies. Well, I started watching this talk with Peter Thiel, and it was all about the new economy, technology, and globalization. It's out on YouTube. If I still have it open, I'll put it in the notes. So if you're interested, you can watch it. But it was just so beyond sickening. I mean, it made me feel so incredibly defeated at that moment that this whole new world order that we've been expecting all this time, all these years, they've been talking about this since the freaking 80s. I remember with Ronnie Reagan and the Iran-Contra scandal and being just in college and working, making punk rock tunes that got played on the college radio station about all this stuff and the war machine. I mean, this has been coming for a very long time. But guys, I've warned you, this is the strings on the bag. Way, way, way up there. There's too many CubeSats up there now for us to even see that hole anymore. And they're just yanking it closed. Cracking the secrets of the brain, DNA, and mixing and matching to create a life form by the push of a button, says the DARPA lady. Being able to have these things reproduce. And now we are going after modifying humans in every way, shape, and form. We've conquered insects and plants, and now we are after people. Mesobrain is not the only high-profile, publicly funded project designed to reverse engineer the human brain in recent times. There has also been the United States Microns project. I think DARPA was involved with that somehow, dedicated to building more biofidelic algorithms, as well as the European Commission on the Human Brain project, intended to build a complete computer simulation of the brain over a 10-year period, among others. Taken together, we should be looking for some invaluable brain-related insights over the coming years. And like I outlined, they can already suck your thoughts and read your dreams, and you can send messages and play video games without ever lifting a finger. Well, I saw a couple other stories here. This one was probably one of the most disturbing. There was one titled Self-Control in the Human Brain, the Neuroscience of Impulse Control. And you know, that whole impulse control area of the brain has to do with dopamine. If you have a problem with impulse control, you typically have too much dopamine. And they find that that is where people diagnosed with psychopathic disorder tend to have some issues. Children who play a lot of video games also have impulse control problems. That's why they've spent a lot of time, especially from the DARPA end of things, but now we're seeing all over that they are spending a lot of time studying that dopamine button. They have been able to even find ways to manipulate the brain. There's a technology called optogenetics. We have read about that. This photonics that they had mentioned in the biotissue fabrication facility. A lot of those photonics are exactly what they are using to do these optogenetics. They are very fine, tiny nanowires that they can pass light down like a fiber optic. They also were genetically modifying brain cells to have some sort of phosphorescence that they might be able to turn on or turn off and imprint or remove memories. Well, wait till you hear this one. This is where we're going to end the show today. If anyone remembers Monty Python, The Quest for the Holy Grail, one of my favorite parts of that movie, I mean, I love the whole movie, one of my favorite parts of that movie was toward the end when they were in the cave. I think they were searching for the holy hand grenade. and they came upon the killer bunny rabbit. That rabbit came flying with those teeth. Ah, it's a killer bunny rabbit. How bloody. Well, listen to this. If there ever was a case for mad science, killer mice show where hunting instinct starts in the brain. I said it, killer mice. Researchers have transformed normally timid lab mice into snapping super efficient killers by manipulating circuits in the brain's fear center. Uh-oh, da-da-da, the obligata. Now, guys, I think this is where we're going to kick it off tomorrow, looking at that fear center and looking at manipulating the brain and some of the research that they have been doing, because this is pretty frightening. So now let's think about this from a war perspective. Think about this, how 9/11 has pushed that fear button. They've gotten really good at manipulating fear. These new findings show exactly where the predatory mechanism comes from in the brain, and show that in mice, anyway, it links the muscles to the lower jaw, shoulder, and forelimb, and together they work to create a fast and efficient pounce. It creates a somewhat horrifying scenario, a killer little field mice. But it sheds light on precisely where in the brain hunting skills are centered. And this is a mechanism common to all higher animals, including humans. The team has used a technique called optogenetics, ding ding, to control the mice. And it involves genetically modifying specific brain cells using a virus, Trojan horse, and then employing a laser to activate the neurons. And once they homed in on the correct circuit, the transformation was instant. We turned on the laser, and they jump on an object, hold it with their paws, and intensively bite it as if they were trying to capture and kill it. I mean, can you guys believe this? Killer field mice controlled by a laser. They've got movies showing how it works, and whether they are normal in their natural state, these mice ignore sticks and other objects and try to attack. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. Lonnie Clark is live up next. I will catch up with you on Monday. Everybody have a great day.
Listening to UCY.TV. Why don't you stick around for